Testing. Yeah, must have got it. Let's open in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we do want to know you more. Help us to listen to these words today and take them to heart and grow closer to you. And we pray, Lord, that as we go through our daily lives, that we would reach out to tell others about your gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Amen. As I speak this, I'm grateful for our pastor, and I feel so inadequate to fill in for him. We are truly blessed to have Pastor Matt as our shepherd. The Lord has gifted him with insight often found with much more experienced preachers. Pastor Matt presents topics in a clear and concise manner while providing illustrations that one can identify with. I believe that finding illustrations that really work is one of the most difficult assignments a preacher has. Note, I said preacher, not pastor, because a pastor's most difficult assignment is dealing with us. Hopefully, today's message and illustrations will be communicated in a clear and sound way. In Sunday school this morning, I was reminded that today's message is needed by me probably more than anyone out there. I would encourage you, if you don't attend Sunday school, there's a lot of times that the message there really does tie in with the message today. Today we are looking at Philippians 4:4-9. Please open your Bible there. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and have received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. As we look through this passage, we will look at six of the ideas communicated in the text, and they're up on the screen. Rejoice in the Lord. Don't be anxious. Be thankful. Have peace. Think on what is true and beautiful. Practice what is praiseworthy. That's sound advice, but sometimes it's difficult to do. Looking at the first one, rejoice. Examining the first of the six ideas I found communicated in the passage is rejoicing. Found the following question on the internet. What would you do if governing authorities in your city started breaking into all of the homes of Christians at your local church? How would you respond if your beloved friends and family were all carted off to jail, had all their property confiscated, and some were even killed? And what would you think if you knew this was all occurring for no other reason that you believed Jesus was the awaited Messiah and that you loved him with all your heart? Would you be bitter over your circumstances? Or would you remain joyful through it all? Would you be angry at the governing authorities, or would you be submissive? Would you start to question God at all, or would you love him all the same? Think about that question for a moment. Would you like to believe that you would stand firm, but feel you might falter? The scenario described above is played out throughout the world today. Yet many of those enduring this type of treatment are rejoicing in Christ. Do you believe that you would rejoice or complain? To answer that question, one must first define some terms. What does it mean to rejoice? The dictionary defines it as feel or show great joy or delight. If you have been around small children, you have seen delight in the eyes of a child, discovering something for the first time. People enjoy seeing that spontaneous display of excitement. Even something as simple as playing peekaboo with a small child can bring laughter and smiles. Many find the joy in these types of experiences. Grandparents are notorious for getting enjoyment from watching grandchildren grow. Unfortunately, we often find it difficult to rejoice because of the concerns and cares that accompany life. This is where the idea of rejoicing in the Lord needs to be understood completely. This rejoicing isn't based on our relationship or our circumstances. It is based on the relationship with the Lord. John Piper states, "The joy of the Lord is gladness of the heart that comes from knowing God, abiding in Christ, and being filled with the Holy Spirit." When Jesus was born, the angels announced good tidings of great joy. Only as one lives life focused on Christ can true joy be found. Having the day of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, doesn't mean every day will be happy and enjoyable. It means that even during those times you are struggling, remembering what Christ has done for you will give you the strength to continue. Remembering that God of all creation suffered and died to provide us with eternal life puts things in perspective and allows us to have hope. Don't be anxious. Pastor Matt did an amazing message on not being anxious, while basically admitting he needed to listen to his own sermon. The following example of not being anxious is amazing. It doesn't mean that this type of thing happens all the time, but listen to this story. The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. George Mueller Messina, one of Napoleon's generals, suddenly appeared with 18,000 soldiers before an Austrian town, which had no means of defending itself. The town council met, certain that capitulation was the only answer. The old dean of the church reminded the council, "It's Easter," and begged them to hold services as usual and leave the trouble in God's hands. They followed his advice. The dean went to the church and rang the bells to announce the service. The French soldiers heard the Christian church bells ring and concluded that the Austrian army had come to the rescue. They broke camp and, before the bells had ceased ringing, vanished. Anxiousness robs many people of the joy they could be experiencing. Everyone has experienced worry or unease or nervousness. Sometimes because of a particular event. In the case of an event such as surgery, job loss, loss of a loved one, the anxiousness can become almost overwhelming. An event such as a wedding, there can be excited nervousness, which is a positive feeling. or overwhelming nervousness that something may go wrong that can take away from a joyous experience. Even during a joyous occasion, our anxiety can lessen the joy we experience. If we are trusting in the Lord and not being anxious, we can enjoy the happy events with more fervor and the difficult events with less stress. Remembering that we are loved by our Heavenly Father goes a long way to help us experience the joy of the Lord. The third item is be thankful. Scripture has a number of passages that remind us to be thankful. Colossians 4:2 tells us to continually, steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Often our prayers fail to focus on thanksgiving, yet Scripture reminds us to do that. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, it reminds us to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Giving thanks in all circumstances is particularly difficult. When Paul and Silas were in prison, they praised the Lord. They were praising with such fervor that the inmates were listening to them. How often are believers today praising the Lord with that type of gusto? Once again, in Ephesians 5:19 through 20, we are reminded to rejoice and give thanks, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As you can see, Scripture reminds us to be thankful. In our society, most children are taught to say please and thank you from a very young age. I recall when my children were young, reminding them to say thank you. Sometimes I think I didn't remind them enough. But for many of us, saying thank you is an almost automatic response, done without thought. One may, on any given day, say thank you many times. But are we truly thankful? Are we truly conscious of a benefit we have received while appreciating the one who gave it to us? Do we remember what Christ has done for us as often as we should? Christians frequently repeat that Jesus died to save us from our sins and provide us everlasting life. But do we really consider the cost that was paid? Jesus came to earth as a baby, born in a stable. He left the glories of heaven to become a man. He left the glories of heaven to be born in a stinky, smelly stable. He left heaven where every order he gave was instantly followed to become a servant to all mankind. He left heaven to be tempted here on earth while staying completely perfect. Have peace is the next point. Scripture mentioned peace a number of times. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. How often do we look at this passage and wonder why we aren't displaying more of the fruits of the Spirit? Hebrews 12:14, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. And Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The question that comes at this point is, what is peace? According to the dictionary, peace is a state of tranquility or quiet. If you have children, you probably forget what quiet is. On those rare occasions where it is quiet, you probably become alarmed. Nicholas Ridley is an example of someone that found peace. In 1555, Nicholas Ridley was burned at the stake because of his witness for Christ. On the night before Ridley's execution, his brother offered to remain with him in the prison chamber to be of assistance and comfort. Nicholas declined the offer and replied that he meant to go to bed and sleep as quietly as he ever did in his life, because he knew the peace of God. He could rest in the strength of the everlasting arms of his Lord to meet his need. So can we. Imagine feeling so much peace that the Lord is in control, that even while facing death, you can rest peacefully. How many of us worry about possible future events that may or may not occur? How many times have you spent sleepless nights worrying or dwelling on a situation? Ridley was facing certain death, yet he was calm and at peace. When the storms of life occur, do you seek solace in the Creator of the universe? Remember, true peace is found in relying on the Lord. Think on what is true and beautiful. Definition is a combination of qualities such as shape, color, or form that pleases the aesthetic senses, especially the sight, or a combination of qualities that pleases the intellect or moral sense. So often we fail to see the beauty that is displayed around us. God's originally perfect creation displays beauty despite the fall. The scenes painted by the rising and setting of the sun are breathtakingly beautiful if we take the time to watch them. Isn't it interesting that when people go to the ocean on vacation, they frequently will take pictures of the sun rising to share how beautiful it was? Yet we miss everyday beauty where we live. While we can look to nature and appreciate the beauty still displayed in it, true beauty can only be found in the Word of God. How many of us look at Scripture as being more beautiful than a rare sunset? How many of us can't wait to return to the Word of God? Let's read some of the scripture passages that share what is truly beautiful, looking at some passages we see what the Lord considers true and beautiful. Do not let your 1 Peter 3:3-4. Do not let your adorning be external. The braiding of hair and the putting on of jewelry or the clothing you wear. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is in God's sight very precious. A quiet and gentle spirit is a beautiful thing. Each of you here probably knows someone that fits this description. You know the person that even if they do something hurtful, it's often overlooked because they are normally so nice. In 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18, it says, "So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." If we are looking to the glory of God and the gift of eternal life Christ provides, we are looking at the most beautiful gift one can experience. Next, I'm going to share a verse that has significant implications for us today. Genesis 1:27. "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." Each person is beautiful because they bear the image of God. Think about that. If we kept in mind each person is an image bearer of God, would we treat them differently when we interacted? You are made in the image of God. While each individual here is a sinner, each one has a beauty because of who made us in his image. I truly feel pity for those that are not saved and don't have a Christian worldview. Their worldview, we are merely accidents of nature that evolved by chance. While non-Christians may value human life, they can never appreciate man's uniqueness. In a non-Christian worldview, we are just more advanced animals, not unique and beautiful creations made in God's image. Many people today even believe that we are a blight on earth instead of God's crowning achievement. We are made in God's image. We are the pinnacle of his creation. As an aside, we defend the right of the unborn because they are made in the image of God. They are image bearers. Each one is unique and beautiful. Psalm 139:14 says, "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." Why are we called to love and help one another? Because we are all made in the image of God. Practice what is worthy of praise. Praise is the expression of approval or admiration for someone or something. Our praise should be directed toward God. Psalm 151, "Let everything praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. If we think frequently about what God has done for us by providing salvation through Jesus Christ, we would praise him far more than we do. What does it mean to do that which is praiseworthy? One example can be found in both Fox's Book of Martyrs and the Scripture. From Fox's Book of Martyrs, I will read an insert. Saint Stephen suffered the next in order. His death was occasioned by the faithful manner in which he preached the gospel to the betrayers and murderers of Christ. To such a degree of madness were they excited that they cast him out of the city and stoned him to death. Stephen's example is an extreme example of what of doing that which is praiseworthy. Sharing the gospel under the most difficult situation is definitely praiseworthy. Sharing the message that Jesus came to pay for our crimes against a holy and just God is praiseworthy. Helping someone in need in the name of Jesus Christ is also praiseworthy. Doing praiseworthy things doesn't have to be as extreme as Stephen's. Something seemingly as mundane as helping family members with a chore in the name of your Lord and Savior can be done in a praiseworthy manner. Showing love and compassion to others is a praiseworthy activity. Today we explored the past scripture passage of Philippians 4:4-9. This passage reminds us of at least six important things to remember. Rejoice in the Lord. Don't be anxious. Be thankful. Have peace. Think on what is true and beautiful. Practice what is praiseworthy. We should always be rejoicing that the Lord has paid for our sins, that we have no need to be anxious. Being thankful for all Christ provides, enjoying peace that is provided by focusing on our faith in Christ, remembering to think on what is true and beautiful, and practicing what is praiseworthy. As we close today, I want to keep those six points in mind. I believe that two of those can help us with the other four. If we follow Scripture and we think on what is true and beautiful instead of what is currently going on in the world, and we do what is praiseworthy, we will likely have more peace, be less anxious, be more thankful, and be able to rejoice more in the Lord each day. It's often hard to think on what is true and beautiful because today we have so many sources of information coming at us, and it always seems that there's bad news out there. But if we focus on Scripture, reading good books, reading and helping one another, we can push some of those negative messages aside. Let's close in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time to be reminded of your word and your love. And we just pray, Lord, that you would help us to go out and share to a lost and dying world that Jesus Christ came to pay for our sins, that whoever believes in him can receive eternal life and forgiveness because Jesus paid for all our sins. Amen.